Hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you for what you're doing in Ukraine. We thank you for what you're doing all around this planet. Lord, I thank you that even you've been waking some of us up in the night season to pray with the over 50 conflicts that are happening around the planet right now, the different wars and conflicts that are going on. There's so many that are in desperate need right now, and our focus has been on Ukraine, but we also pray for the others in the 1040 window that are actually laying down their lives for the gospel. We thank you for the provision to this couple and how they've been faithful in Ukraine. Lord, we thank you for many salvations coming into play here. As people come, they've lost everything in the natural, even lost some family members, and as they come here through this place and they see the demonstration of the love of Jesus Christ through this pastoral couple and the team from that church, Lord, let the seed that's been planted in their hearts produce a harvest in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you have your Bible, turn over to Luke chapter 22, and I'm going to share a few things. We've been talking on covenants the last several weeks, and so I wanted to just share about the new covenant a little bit. We talked about old covenants. We've talked about the marriage covenant. We've talked about the Abrahamic covenant. We've talked about the Mosaic covenant. And the scripture teaches that there's probably at least 8 covenants that we can see through the Bible. 5 of them are primary covenants that we look to. The big 3 for us would be the Abrahamic covenant, the Mosaic covenant, and the, guess which one? What are you living in? The new covenant, the new covenant, the new testament era that we're living in. Covenant, again, just means testament or will. And there are covenants where two parties come together and they cut covenants. You ever heard that phrase before? Remember the old Indian blood brothers? They'd cut their wrist and then they'd mix their blood together and they were becoming brothers for life. And so there's different types of covenants that people have. Marriage is a covenant. It's not just a contract like the world says. It's supposed to be for life. Come on. And it's supposed to be an eternal covenant with God in the center between them for this world right now. God's eternity living on the inside of the married couple here on this planet in this life. But there's other covenants that we talk about through the scriptures. And I don't want to, you know, I remember a little phrase that we learned when I was a Baptist boy. And that is the New Testament is in the old concealed. And the New Testament, well, let me see how they phrase it. The old and the new is revealed. The new and the old is concealed. Does that sound right? It'll work. It's not the one that I was thinking of. But the main thing is that there's not a brand new covenant in the sense of that God never prophesied it. God never spoke about there being a new covenant. And I'm going to talk a little bit about new covenant realities this morning. But God has always been a covenant-making God. He's been a person from clear back in the garden. He created Adam and Eve. And what happened during the cool of the day? He would come down and talk to them and walk with them. God created them and for fellowship and to spend intimate time with him. And so that God has always wanted a people that he would spend time with, a people who he could commune with. And you and I are those people today. Amen? And so throughout the scriptures, we basically have 2 covenants that we talk about, and that's the Old Covenant, which would be the Old Testament, 66 books, right? And then the New Testament, 27 books, is the New Covenant. But Jesus said over in Luke chapter 22, verse 20, he said, I am establishing a new covenant, verse 20. In the same way, he took up the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood. So Jesus was instituting a new covenant. He was saying, with me and with my blood sacrifice, I'm instituting a new covenant. Now again, this is nothing that hadn't been spoken about in the Old Testament. Jeremiah talks about it. Ezekiel talks about it. Clear on back to Abraham, God spoke and he said, I'm going to make of you a nation of many peoples, many, many. The stars couldn't contain them. But he's also spoke to Abraham that would go to the whole world. Now, the Mosaic covenant, or what we call the Old Testament law, was for the Jewish people. Everybody say the Jewish people. The Jewish people, the nation of Israel and Judah. God made a covenant with them. And it was, we see over in Deuteronomy chapter 28 and 29, that there were blessings and cursings. There were a whole lot more cursings than there were blessings. And it said, if you will obey me, if you will do this and this and this. That was two parties entering into a covenant, into an agreement. God says, I'm going to break covenant with you. I will give you all these blessings, and you in return need to do these things. That would be something that we would call nowadays, it would be just a covenant between two people, two parties. It would be something that is, what do I want to say? It's not a contract, but it's bilateral. Two of us come together, we agree on something together, right? And if I do these things, you'll do those things. And if you do those things, I'll receive the benefit from it. But with God, he's instituting a new covenant, which we have in the New Testament, and it's unilateral. There's no if-then. There's no, if you serve me every day of your life, then the blood of my son will cover your sins. It's a, I choose to send my son to die in your place and take away all your sin, and not just take away your sin or cover it. You know, I love these days, except for today when I woke up and had snow. But I usually love the first snow of the season, you know, and it covers the ground really well. You can drive by a junkyard, you don't even know anything's under there because it's just beautiful white, right? Come on. And in the Old Covenant, the Old Testament sacrifices, the blood of the animals covered temporarily. But it was not a complete sacrifice. It was a temporary sacrifice because people would sin again. And they had to have another sacrifice. And then once a year, the high priest would go on into the Holy of Holies, and he would offer up the blood for the atonement of the nation for that year to cover the year's sin. But then they had to replace and restart doing it the very next day again. Come on, because people kept sinning. And they had to keep offering up sacrifices. We have a new covenant, and as we're going to look here in the book of Hebrews, we have a new covenant, a new testament, a new will given unto us where God says, I've done it all for you. You don't have to sacrifice anymore. You don't have to kill animals. You don't have to try to earn my favor anymore. My son has already paid the price for you. This is the new covenant. In fact, if you look at the book of Hebrews, I call it the book of betters. It's a better covenant, better promises, built on a better mediator, Jesus Christ, a better sacrifice. That's a once and for all sacrifice. Everybody understand that? Do you know that when you and I mess up or we sin, we do something stupid, Jesus doesn't have to go back to the cross and die and bleed again to cover our sin? That everything that you do, have done, will stupidly do in the future, it was all covered under the blood of Jesus Christ almost 2,000 years ago. That's shout material. You ought to be happy about that. There's nothing you, we sang about it this morning, there's nothing you and I can do to remove us from God's love other than stop receiving. His love is towards us. His arm is not shortened that he cannot save. He has given his love towards us. We have to accept it. We have to walk in it. We have to believe it. Come on. There's a new covenant reality here that we're going to talk about this morning. So Jesus says, I'm instituting a new covenant in my blood. Again, it's nothing brand new that wasn't spoke about or prophesied, but now it's instituted through the life of Jesus. Turn back to Jeremiah chapter 31, if you have your Bibles with you. They may pull it up for us here in a second. But Jeremiah chapter 31, and I'm just going to drop on down to verse 31. And the Lord is speaking through Jeremiah, and he says, well, we better go back to 30. Everyone will die for his own iniquity. That's allotted to mankind. Every one of us will die from our own sin nature. We will die and spend a Christless, godless eternity away from God if we have not accepted Christ. This is the state of humanity without Jesus. Every one of you will die because of your sin, but, look at verse 31, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant. What's covenant again? Will, testament that he's giving unto us. He says, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. Now, what covenant is he talking about? The Mosaic covenant. We call it Moses, Mosaic, okay? Not a mosaic like you make on the wall or on the floor. But he's talking about Mosaic as in the person Moses, when he brought back the Ten Commandments from the mountain, and they have over 600 laws in the Jewish tradition that you have to fulfill, and you have to walk under all these laws. And Paul said, hey, don't go under that. Just go to Jesus. Come on. And the new covenant is Jesus plus nothing. Jesus is sufficient for everything. Religion is, yes, get saved, ask Jesus in your heart as your personal Lord and Savior, and here's the list of things that you can't do and you can do to belong to our club that we call a church. And I'll give you 2 weeks to stop drinking that six-pack of beer on Friday night. But on the third week, if you haven't given that up, well, I'm not sure, brother or sister, you even got saved. Come on, that's religious tradition. What's that got to do with anything Jesus did? Nothing! Let's continue reading here. He says, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. Moses brought them out of there. My covenant which they broke. although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after these days. Now he's about to tell us the covenant we're in. Look at it. I will put my law within them and on their heart. Come on, just stop for a second and think about it. What was the Old Testament covenant? What were the Old Testament laws? They were externals pressed upon us to try to make us live holy and righteous. Everybody understand? That's law. Law is always external, pressing, trying to put something on us so that we can walk holy and pure according to whatever the definition is of that group that you belong to. Right? That is the law. He's saying here, it's not going to be outside of you. This kind of sounds parallel-like when Jesus said, but I need to go to heaven because if I can't go to heaven, I don't go to heaven, then I can't send the Holy Spirit to you. Who you have known of, he's been with you. But when I send him, he's now going to live. Come on, church. He's going to live in you. Not just be with you occasionally, but he's going to live in you. And look what he says here. He says, not like I had made with them before. Not that kind of covenant. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it. And I will be their God, and they will be my people. They will not teach again each man his neighbor, and each man his brother, saying, know the Lord. In other words, we aren't going to have to instruct you to say, hey, it'd be good for you to know God. Right? What's it say? We won't have to teach you that, because they all... Everybody say all? They will all know me from the least to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and sin, and their sin I will remember no more. He was prophesying the new covenant clear back in Jeremiah chapter 32, or 31, excuse me. He was talking about what? The forgiveness of sin. He was talking about God's law being placed into our heart. Having an innate ability internally now to change from the inside out. Come on, God's not done with you yet. Everybody turn and look at somebody and say, God's not done with you yet. So I'm not done with you yet. Come on. And you need to think about yourself. God's not done with you yet. No matter where you're at now, the Gaithers used to have a great song. It's not what I'm gonna be, but thank God I'm not what I was. Amen. Anybody made any progression towards Christ since you've been a Christian? Yes. Some of the old habits that used to pull you down, keep you separated from God, even separated from your family. Some of those habits have dropped off from you. Why? Did you have to beat yourself into submission and apply the law from the outside upon you? Or did your heart change? Come on. Your heart changed from the inside out. God works from the inside out. He doesn't clean his fish until he catches them. I think I might have shared with you before one of the saddest things I saw when I was pastoring. I stopped out in the country someplace at a denominational church, and I thought, I've never seen that church before. And there was a sign up on the front, and on the front, the sign on the church said, if you're a woman and you have those devil's stirrups hanging from your ears, and your dress doesn't touch the ground, and your head's not covered, don't come in. We don't want any Jezebels here. No, I added that part. But I thought, how sad. Some overwrought mother is out driving in the country about to kill herself. She sees a church, and she thinks, maybe I'll get some help there. And she drives on up there, and she sees the sign on the door, and she knows she's got the devil's stirrups dangling from her ears, so she can't even go in the door. How stupid! Religion divides. Religion separates. Religion pushes us away from God. Because it goes back to the old covenant law, and the law was our teacher to teach us what? That we couldn't do it. Come on, we could not fulfill, only one person fulfilled all the law, and that was Jesus Christ. Everybody else had to have the blood sacrifices to cover up for their sin. Because they had the old nature living on the inside. And if you give any rein, like to the horses, you give it to your old nature, it'll try and take over. So you needed a new nature, a new covenant. We needed to have his law put on the inside of us. You know that even over in chapter 1 of Luke, Zechariah is prophesying. He's talking about this new covenant, and he traces it back to Abraham. God promised to Abraham. You know, we used to sing a little chorus, Abraham's blessings are mine. Abraham's blessings are mine. That's all I remember from the song. Maybe you know the rest of it. But that's what spoke to me. Abraham's blessings are mine. Because we just read here, he was talking about Israel and Judah. He's talking to the Jews. But how many of you know that if you are born again child of God, you have been engrafted into the family of God. You have been adopted into the family of God. And this is the thing about adopted children. They're wanted. Now, hopefully the kids that you have, you wanted too. It wasn't just you didn't make it to the corner drugstore on that Friday night. But anyway. Wow, tough crowd. You're like, oh no, he just told on me. No, you love the kids, your children, you want to spend time with them. But I'll tell you what, to adopt someone takes effort. It's not just a naturally occurring event. God has adopted us into his family and paid the price for you and I to be adopted, engrafted in. And I might have shared here before, in the Roman culture, adoption gave you higher rights in the family than the natural born children, because you were chosen and the new name was conferred upon you. And all the benefits of the family and the patriarch were given to you. Come on, we're engrafted into the kingdom of God. We're engrafted on in. Now, let's flip on over to Hebrews chapter 8. And Hebrews, besides being a great name for a coffee shop, I'm trying to wake you up here on this cold last forever day of snow this year. And ice especially. Come on. But over in the book of Hebrews, let's just look at chapter 1 for a second. I just want to pull up that before we get to chapter 8. Chapter 1 of Hebrews, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son. How does God speak to us today? In his Son. He's spoken to us in his Son, through whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. Jesus made the world. In him, of him, through him, by him, all things were created. You have created everything, Lord. It says, and made all the whole world, and he, who's the he? Jesus. He is the radiance of his, God's glory, and the exact representation of God's nature. You want to know what God's like? What the Father God's like? What the Holy Spirit's like? Look at Jesus. And you can see the exact nature of God. And he upholds all things by the word of his power. Words are powerful for us too. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of majesty on high, having become as much better than the angels, as he has inherited a more excellent name than they had. And I've taught on the name of Jesus here before, and it's not a mantra we use. You know, Jesus, Jesus, you know, there's thousands of people named Jesus. And how many of you know that Jesus is really just the Greek alliteration of Joshua from the Old Testament? Or what? How you say it?
Joshua.
Joshua, yeah, in the Hebrew. So it's not the literal name Jesus. It's the person Jesus. See, when we're singing out the name of Jesus here, what we're really saying is, we are getting out of the way. We are your ambassadors. We are letting you move through us, your name through us, your anointing through us. We are standing instead of you physically. When we send an ambassador to another country, he has all the rights and responsibilities and power of the nation he's sent from to speak into the new nation. God has said the name of Jesus is above every other name. The name he's been granted. Savior, Redeemer, Messiah. All those names. And he's told us, all authority and power has been given unto me. Sit on your blessed assurance for 40 years in the church. No, what's he say? All authority and power has been given unto me. In heaven and earth. Something therefore. Go ye therefore. Oh, yeah, that's in the Bible somewhere, in the Gospels. Matthew 28, all power and authority in the heavens and the earth has been given unto me. And he stops and he says, go therefore. Go there. What? Therefore what, Jesus? Therefore in my power and authority. In my stead, in my name. All right, you're in Hebrews, or as I call it, the book of betters. Let's turn over to chapter 8. In verse 1, now the main point in what has been said is this. What's the main point, preacher? The main point in what has been said is this: we have such a high priest who has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of majesty in the heavens, a minister in the sanctuary and in the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched, not of man. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices, so it is necessary that this high priest also have something to offer. Think about it for a second. What does he, all the Old Testament priests, I'm sure you've seen clips, or you've seen movies where the old priests were offering up sacrifices in the temple. This is the new priest after the order of Melchizedek. This is Jesus Christ. What does he have to offer as a sacrifice? His own blood. His own blood. And the scripture goes on and says, if he were on earth, he would not be a priest at all, since there are those who will offer the gifts according to the law. They're animals, animal sacrifice. And it says, they are a copy and a shadow of heavenly things. A copy and a shadow. But let's drop on down here, and it says, 6. But now he, Jesus, has obtained a more excellent ministry by as much as he is also the mediator of a better covenant, which has been enacted on better promises. And then it goes on and talks that the first covenant had been good enough, then we could all be living under the first covenant. But it wasn't enough. The law showed us the need for a Savior. And Jesus came and fulfilled that need for us. Amen? So the superiority of Christ over angels, superiority of Christ over any human priest offering sacrifices, Jesus Christ brought a better covenant, built on better promises, and administered by a better mediator, a better sacrifice, Jesus. Amen? Do you know in the old covenant, there was no final sacrifice for sin? It was temporal. In the old covenant, there was no internal control. Come on. You read through the Bible sometimes, you almost think David's schizophrenic. Oh, Lord, I love you with my whole heart. Oh, there's Bathsheba. Woohoo! Come on! And yet God says, I found a man after my own heart. David loved God. He wrote all kinds of psalms extolling the love he has towards God. But you know what? He was still a human, controlled by his human urges and flesh. And the law could not free him. It took a Savior to come and die in his place for his blood and his sacrifice to free him from that old sin nature. Amen? So the law was something external. In the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, you did not have an enabling from the inside out. There was no internal control. The Old Covenant imposed external upon. The New Testament enables from the inside out. We just talked about a couple minutes, but you testified a couple minutes ago here that from the inside out, you're being changed. That habits and things that you thought you couldn't live without changed. How? Because you suppressed them from the outside? No, because from the inside out, your heart changed. You no longer had to talk that way, act that way, be that way. From the inside out, because you're becoming more and more like Jesus. Jesus. That's our goal, to become more like him. Paul said, I haven't attained that, but I'm still pressing, that I may know him. The power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, over in Philippians chapter 3. Forgiveness and enablement is what the new covenant brings to us. So let me give us a couple points here on this without reading through all of Hebrews. Again, better covenant, better promises than the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. Better sacrifice, pay the once and for all. Jesus Christ paid once and for all for our sin. Got to accept it though. It's not an automatic just because he died for you. You don't automatically get to go to heaven just because Jesus paid the price for you. You still have to accept him in your heart as your personal Lord and Savior. You can choose to reject or you can choose to accept. And once you accept him, that's just the beginning. Come on, God is cleaning us from the inside out. You get born again, that's just the beginning of this opportunity to get to know God and spend time with him. Sad to say, a lot of people just got their fire insurance ticket punched and they're happy with that. You know what I'm talking about? Fire insurance ticket, they're not going to hell, going to make it to heaven, slide on in, greasy grace at the end. Don't take that chance. Get to know the Savior. Come on, do you know him? He knows you. Do you know him? So a couple things here. First of all, the new covenant is authored by God. God authored it. Like I said a minute ago, you know, a lot of agreements, a lot of covenants are bilateral. We come together in agreement, but this is unilateral. God said, I'm giving this to you. Amen. You can't earn it. You can't pay it back. Come on. We don't deserve it. Now, I do change that song, Amazing Grace. I'm sorry. I'm tired of confessing I'm a wretch. Come on. Even though all the country stars and it's the most recorded song there is on the planet. Amazing Grace has saved a wretch like me, and I usually throw in there like I used to be. I once was lost and blind, but now I see. So why are you calling yourself a wretch? Okay, anyway, side point. Used to be a wretch. See, if we constantly focusing on the what was, we'll never become what we should be. If all you do is look in the rearview mirror, you're going to have an accident. You can't see where you're going. All right. It's authored by God. It's unique. If we drop down to verse 13, it says, when he said a new covenant, he has made the first one obsolete. But whatever is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to disappear. Jesus came and he didn't just do away with the old covenant. He fulfilled the old covenant. The old covenant didn't just stop. The old covenant is still out there. You can live by the old covenant if you want to. But you got to keep all those old covenant laws if you want the old covenant blessings. Much better deal will come and just have two commandments than those 600 and some, right? What are the two commandments Jesus told us? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, will, in other words, your total being, and to love your neighbors as yourself. And that will fulfill all the other commandments if you do that. So the New Testament and the New Covenant is unique. We're engrafted into that New Covenant Testament. It's not like the Mosaic Law, just around the people and upon the people. It's within. We've talked about this already. He said in verse 10, I will put the laws into their mind, into their hearts. There's a finality. I will place within you. There's a finality. There's a new nature. 2 Peter chapter 1, 3, 4 talks about, and this divine power that's been given unto us. What are we talking about? Divine power to throw it around? No, we're talking about a divine new nature. God comes to live on the inside of us and live through us. Can you handle one more scripture passage? Well, nobody can handle it, Pastor. I guess I'm way past over time. In Ezekiel, I'll just quote it to you. Ezekiel 36, 25 to 28. God gives us provision for the new covenant. There's cleansing for all. It says he's going to remove the stony heart. Amen. And put in a heart of what? A pliable heart of flesh. In other words, God says, I'm not just whitewashing the outside of the house. I'm taking out the stony. Stony hearts could not receive the new covenant, New Testament. Could not receive the love of God the same way as those of us who now have new natures, new hearts. He removed the stony heart and he puts in a brand new being. And then he also says in Ezekiel, and I will put my spirit in him. That's the promise. Not only does God take out our old nature, our old heart, he gives us a brand new heart, and then he gives us his spirit to live in us. Titus 3 talks about the cleansing that he does for us. 2 Corinthians 3 says that we are epistles written and read of all people. People should look at us and they should see that we are Christ-like. In other words, we are in Christed. Christ has come on the inside of us. He's changed us from the inside out. Let me give us a couple of quick things to close here. Old covenant versus new covenant mindset. Just think this through, because there's times in my life when I find myself slipping back to law, and Paul said, don't do that, because if you want to fulfill part of that law, you got to do the whole law. And so I just give us a couple things here, and this will check up from the neck up right now, let you know whether you're living in law, whether you're living in grace, or whether you're in a mixture. Okay? Can I read some things? Think about it here. Well, let me just ask you this one question. Do we need to pray for revival? Do we need to pray for revival? I remember something Reinhard Bonnke said. He says, I don't pray for revival. I am revival. I tricked you. No, we are revival. Do we need to pray for the day of Pentecost to happen? Do we need to pray that we could get someone to sacrifice themselves and die on the cross for us for all of our sins? No, it's already happened, right? We need to understand the grace of God. We need to know that we have already been revived on the inside. We've already been changed from the inside. Do you know your identity? My identity is I'm a son of God. I am a saint who sometimes stupidly sins. Anybody else? Yeah. Fortunately, we have a Savior who's all sufficient. Come on. In spite of our stupidity. Now, I've been around a long time, 40-some years of ministry, and I've been around a lot of different camps. And some camps I go to, the whole worship service is crying for God to open up the heavens. And I like some of the tunes about opening up the heavens. But you know what? That's unscriptural. Because the heavens were already opened up 2,000 years ago when the Holy Spirit came down. In fact, even before that, the heavens opened up and the Holy Spirit came like a dove upon Jesus. And if you read through the scripture, and I read through it very carefully, there is no zipper sound of the heavens closing back up. It's open. It's been open. The heavens are open. And so much of the time, I've shared this with us before, so much of the time we're praying and crying out for things that He's already given us or told us to do. Okay, I'll just let that percolate. We need to get a new covenant mindset is, I am an open heaven. I can release healing like they did this morning over people. I can release healing anytime, anywhere. Old covenant is always looking for a move of God to come to us. New covenant is, I am a move of God. Turn and look at somebody and say, I'm a move of God. And then the other person, you can say, well, then start moving. Okay. Start moving then. He's always within me, and He's always within you if you're born again. You can shake places up. Old covenant is always putting focus on self. New covenant is putting focus on Jesus. Jesus Christ. Old covenant, we obeyed to be blessed. The new covenant realities, we are already blessed because of Jesus Christ. We obey because He's already blessed us. Come on, we're not like the little kids trying to manipulate the parents. Mom, Dad, is there anything I can do for you today? How much do you need? You already know what's going on, right? Come climb up in your lap and look at you, bat their eyes, and, you know, I just saw this TV ad for such and such. Come on, you know what's going on. You know you're being played. Doesn't work with God either, does it? We are already blessed because of Jesus Christ. Old covenant, you're always lacking something somewhere. If we just did this, then maybe God would do this. If we could just get the formula right. New covenant, never lacking because He's provided everything pertaining to life and godliness in Christ Jesus. Old covenant, we're always asking God for forgiveness because we mess up. It's good to ask God forgiveness, isn't it? It's okay to say, I'm sorry for sinning, God. But you know, if you sin, why don't you say, Father, I thank You that in Christ I'm already forgiven and You give me the strength and the grace not to do it again. Hello? You see the mind shift? Mindset shift here? One is, I'm just a worthless worm. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I'll always be a sinner. I'll always be a worm. I've got this sin nature that's always going to pull me down. Yes. You want me to agree with you? No. No, you have a new nature in Christ Jesus. Get up and move forward. Repent and get up and go. Old covenant mindset versus new covenant mindset. Always chasing after anointings. If I could just get around that guy and get that Elisha double portion anointing. Do you know how many hundreds of people have laid on William Branham's grave to try and get his anointing? Based on one Old Testament obscure scripture where they threw that guy's skeleton in there and he jumped out because there was anointing still left in Elisha's bones. Why would I want to go get some old prophet's anointing from thousands of years ago when I have the anointing living on the inside of me? Why do I run around trying to, if the angels could just bring me a message from heaven? Why? That's lower than hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, the voice of God speaking to you. Why would you settle for the voice of an angel? I've been around some powerful prophets. You guys have too. And almost to a one, they'll tell you, the reason God spoke to me audibly like that was because I was being dense. God had to speak to me that way. God had to show me that vision because I wasn't listening. I wasn't listening to this. I wasn't listening to counsel. So God had to speak to me that way. Those are the abnormal ways that things happen. The normal way is, I'm His. He's my beloved. I'm His. His Spirit lives on the inside. He will, those that are led of the Spirit of God, they are the sons and daughters of God. We can be led. So quit chasing anointings. You already have the anointing. 1 John 1:20 and 27. But you, beloved, have an unction from the Holy One. This anointing that drops on you every once in a while, if the music's right, the lights are low, the fog machines go on, the light shows go on. No! You have an anointing from the Holy One, and it abides. Old covenant, always crying out for more power, more anointing, for Pentecost. Oh, we could just have another Pentecost. New covenant, we understand that the Pentecost has already been poured out in Acts 2, and we can step into it. Old covenant, couple more. Old covenant, waiting for God to speak from heaven. God has already spoken to us through His Word, through His Son, through His Spirit, in our hearts, through counsel. Here's a big one. Old covenant mentality. Come on, we're running this old new, right? Old covenant mentality, trying to earn my healing. Oh, Lord, you know Sister Gertrude. She's a pillar in the church. If anyone deserves to be healed, oh, Lord, oh, Lord. Does that not sound like a four-letter word? Five-letter works? No. Yeah, she deserves to be healed because she's a child of God, and healing is the children's bread. But see, we try to earn healing. We try to earn blessings. That's old covenant, folks. Sorry if you thought that was... Oh, anyway. It's already been paid. The blessings are already paid for by Jesus Christ. Old covenant, here's a biggie. We do something bad, and we think God's mad at us and angry with us and wants to smite us. Do you remember how many people, prophets, got on the airwaves and said that Katrina was God judging New Orleans for their sin? I mean, it was rampant. And I think, for that little bit of sin that's going on in New Orleans, did you know there were major ministries that are based out of New Orleans? So God just like wiped them out too because of the sin of the people? There's a lot of other places that should have been wiped out a long time ago because of their sin. Come on, San Francisco, Las Vegas, look, just to name a couple. But you know, there's also good praying Christians that are in there to be salt and light in the midst of the darkness. Anyway, quit trying to earn, receive. God isn't angry at us anymore. He's already taken out on, this is something my brain still can't fathom. God has already taken out all the anger and judgment and wrath I deserved. He took it out on His Son Jesus for me. He already did it for me. God's not angry with us ever again. Because when He looks at us and He may be tempted to be angry, what happens? Jesus steps in front of Him. Father, this is my blood shed for David. God is always looking at you through His Son's finished work. You're not judged based on what you do. Now, don't take this as a license to sin, right? Paul had to say, God forbid. I'm not telling you to go sin your brains out so that grace can much more abound. He says, but if you sin, we have an advocate with the Father, the Holy One, Jesus, the righteous Son, right? So I'm not telling you, go do whatever you want to do. What I'm saying is, get over yourself to the point of where you realize He's already done it all for you, so now you can start to walk in newness of life. God's always looking at you through His Son, His finished work. He's not judging you based on what you do, but on what He has already done. He's already, again, judged our works on Jesus on the cross. And I'll just touch this one and move on. A lot of people take their identity in saying, I'm suffering because of a generational curse. Why are you grabbing onto your generational curse? Come on, I know you deal with those here, and you need to, right? But don't walk around. Some people live, it's like a badge of honor, isn't it? My arthritis, really kicking in today. My arthritis. Why are you claiming Arthur in your body? Come on. Well, my lumbago, I don't know what that is. Isn't that a foot or so? I don't know. My this, my that. When did you claim it? No, that spirit of arthritis that's attacking my body, which is the temple of the Holy Ghost, has no place to stay in my body. And tell Arthur to go. And take any of his friends with him. that have come on in. But what, we take glory in these things. Oh, you know, my life, this, that. No, no, we are new creations in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law being made a curse for us. The curse of the law is already broken. We live in this cursed world. It rains on the just and the unjust alike. If you go outside without an umbrella, you're going to get wet, even if you're a Christian. Come on. But he has made provision for us in this life. All things pertaining to life and godliness in Christ Jesus. The curse of the law is already broken. Go back to the cross. You're dead already. Dead men don't feel any pain. Dead men don't have any temptations. Reckon yourselves as dead, but alive to Christ. The scripture tells us. All right, three more. Old covenant mindset. We're always, I talked about this a little bit earlier, always trying to earn favor with God. New Testament, new covenant mindset. Understand, we already have his favor. We already have his favor. Turn to somebody and say, I'm God's favorite. Don't know about you, but I'm God's favorite. Come on. See, here, that's the right response. When I say, I don't know about you, you say, no, I know about me. I know about me. I'm God's favorite. Any of you have kids who think that they're your favorite? And grandkids say, no. I have to tell my oldest grand, you are my favorite first grandchild. And when she got older, she goes, Grandpa, I am your first grandchild. Yes, and you're my favorite. Because I can't say that in front of the other three. Right? We already have God's favor. We are his favorite. Old covenant, always seeking God for his presence, his heart. Afraid one day his presence will lift and leave us like it did with Samson. Afraid he's going to leave us. Why are you in fear? Jesus said, lo, I'm with you always, even till the end of the age. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now your feelings, your emotions might not sense his presence, but that's why we have a higher sure word of prophecy than our emotions, for sure. And that's the scripture where he says, I won't leave you. And the last one, people always chasing after the glory in the old covenant. And new covenant, you are the glory of God. This is the mystery. Colossians 1:27. Christ, come on, turn and look at somebody. Tell them, Christ in you, the hope of glory. If you're born again, Jesus lives on the inside of you. Christ in you, the hope of glory, and that glory can be to save, get other people saved, to witness to other people, to meet other people's needs. Amen? Is that okay? We have a better covenant built on better promises because we have a better sacrifice, and his name is Jesus. Amen.
Okay, I think everybody has a cup. If you haven't, just hold your hand up. I saw them being passed out. Well, most of the teaching today was about the covenant, wasn't it? That's really exciting, isn't it? You know, the scripture says, as I have received from the Lord what he delivered to you, the same night which he was betrayed, he took bread. And he took this bread and he broke it. You know, that's really exciting. You can get ready. But Janet and I, we looked up on the internet, and Jesus Christ's body was broken for everybody in the world. And she just looked up, and there's 7.8 billion pieces every day. No, I'm sorry. That's really exciting, isn't it? So it's just really good. And if you remember, in the Old Testament, they had to sacrifice for sins. But guess what? Jesus Christ, you know, sacrifice for it, and we don't have to pay that price anymore, do we? That's really exciting. All right, we'll get the bread out. I'm going to peel mine. All right, we can just kind of hold it up and get it ready. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Every time you do this in remembrance of me. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you, Lord, for the complete purity of your sacrifice. So we just receive your holiness, your sacrifice, and as we take it, we have the body of Christ, because we are the body of Christ, and it's a brand new remembrance of all you did for us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to just get ready with the cup. All right. In the same manner he did with the cup. This cup is a new testament, a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often you drink it in remembrance of me. And when you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death till he comes. And so, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this holy covenant, this holy blood of Jesus, this holy purity that you have for us. And we receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. And so, as you took this, remember, Jesus sacrificed his blood and defeated Satan. So guess what? Satan's defeated from each one of you right now in Jesus' name. Amen.